The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line on Manx Radio through till 1 o'clock today. Call 66 13 68 if there's something you'd like to get off your chest, something you'd like to place in front of the nation today. You can also text on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. The numbers as at 4:30 yesterday, total number of tests taken 41,000. 984, 255 people waiting for tests. 28 new cases yesterday, 866 active cases. 23 people currently in hospital, four of whom are in ICU. That's the state of play. And from the vaccination board, the up-to-date number, well, as up-to-date as we have it on the vaccination board, total number of vaccinations, 35,519, of which 26,543 are first dose administered and 11,976 second dose administered. And we're currently holding 14,574 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. Lots of, it was nearly 2,000 vaccinations happened yesterday. So we're cracking on with the whole thing. Any thoughts on the subject as well? Benefits of wearing a mask. Makes you feel safer in spaces, says this correspondent, where people are closer together. The downside is 20% less oxygen. Gets to your respiratory system in extreme long-term use. Can cause problems as well. And also, why are people wearing masks if they're in a car and on their own? The worst road, we'll come to potholes in a while because Manx Radio's Freedom of Information request has had response. We've got fruition on there. The worst road on the Isle of Man, the Benihara Road from Andreas. There's hardly 5 metres without a pothole and some serious holes which will damage a wheel outside Kennels Hardware as well. So the Benihara Road from Andreas. They say is the worst road. If you have any reports on that, and if you know of a pothole and you've not yet reported it, then, well, apparently, it may be coincidental, but since we've been talking about it, the reporting of potholes has kind of shot up. Let's go to Eddie on the Man in Line first of all. Eddie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andy.
What's on your mind?
I just want to say about the the Isle of Man government comparing us with Guernsey, right? Now,
yeah.
I've looked into this. Like, Guernsey's doing absolutely fantastic because they've only got a couple of people in isolation after they had the festival and there were so many people with it. When you compare the Isle of Man to Guernsey, the Isle of Man is 8.8 times bigger than Guernsey. Guernsey has 62,792 people on it.
Mm-hmm.
We have 80,000. So we've got, it's over 80,000. So I can't understand the government trying to compare us. Obviously, Guernsey's doing it right. Because it's 8.5 times smaller than here. And, okay, we have got about over 17,000 people more, but in that space of 8.5 times...
I mean, has the government on the Isle of Man, have they been comparing us to Guernsey, like for like, do you think?
Yes, and you know, it's wrong because, well, when I say it's wrong, it is an island the same as us, but it's a lot tinier than us. Okay, it's got nearly 63,000. We've got just over 80,000 people here. But Guernsey have done it right. Obviously, the people in Guernsey are listening to their government and not going out and spreading it.
So who do you think's at fault then? The people on the Isle of Man who are going out and spreading it and not adhering to the rules?
Yes, I do. I really do. Like, I'm 70 years old. And, you know, I don't like being in lockdown. But, you know, obviously there's people on the Isle of Man that are breaking the rules. All I can say is stop breaking the rules. Do as you're told. You know, it just defies logic to me.
How long do you think it's going to be, Eddie, before we come out of this lockdown? It's supposed to be next Tuesday night.
I don't think it's going to be. Well, I know it's probably, but they've extended it for another week, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah.
You know, okay, that's fair enough. But we can't continue going on and breaking the rules. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous, people breaking the rules.
All right. Eddie, thanks for calling us today.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening.
All right. You appreciate your point. Juan's on the line now. Hello, Juan.
Andy, we'll have to stop meeting like this. I took the advice of your listener the other day who said to sanitise, hand sanitise your mask. It's fantastic. It's stopped me swearing. It's cleaned my act up altogether. Absolutely fantastic.
Lovely.
I was listening to your stats there before. I think you missed a couple of stats out as well, and how many people are up having sandwiches today at Douglas Head. I think you missed that one out.
Oh, hang on. I'll just go and have a look.
Yeah, Chris Kinley is adamant on it at night time. Dr. Kinley, he keeps telling us how many sandwiches are getting eaten up at Douglas Head. And everyone needs to just get a grip of things, don't they? I don't understand why the problem is of people sitting in the car and having a sandwich or just enjoying each other's company if you're in your little bubble. I just think things are just getting a bit crazy about that. A couple of points I've got today. A point that I made, I asked a question about 5 weeks ago now, and that was the cost of the vaccination hubs. And it came out at, what have we got, an estimate of 373,000 and a couple of new pennies, probably?
373,000 working total, they say at the moment.
Right, and they came out with the first figure, which was 143 for the airport, if I remember correctly. So I would imagine that it would probably be creeping over that, maybe not as much as the promenade creep over, but I would imagine it would be creeping over that. But 373,000, that's a lot of potholes, isn't it? For 15 minutes of your life, because you're spending 15 minutes in the vaccination hub. You're going in, you're getting vaccinated, you're going out. Unless, of course, the government knows something more than what we do, but that would be a conspiracy theory, wouldn't it? But that sounds like a lot of taxpayers' money, 373,000 to sit in comfort for 15 minutes.
Well, they found that very quickly, and obviously the government they've made no bones about it, June. They've thrown money at this, haven't they?
They've thrown our money at it, yeah, absolutely. And they do that with a lot of our money, to be honest with you, let's face it. I think it could have been done a lot more wisely, but they're a law unto themselves sometimes, aren't they, on the money that they spend of ours. My main point today was the Landlord's Bill, which is getting a reading again on Monday the 23rd, which is next week. And again, I know this is a vehicle for a lot of councillors and MHKs do listen to your programme. And I would say to them that they really need to take this bill back and be looked at more closer when they have more time. A lot of stuff is getting rushed through government at the moment. Like I say, they never waste a good chaos or a good disaster, do they? They like pushing stuff through, and there's a lot of stuff getting pushed through which is not getting the full attention of Tynwald and the MHKs. And I think the Landlord's Bill in its present form is not workable. If you look through the 80 pages of legislation that they want to push through, considering that they don't use half the legislation that they put in place now.
Well, what bit stands out as unworkable to you in the Landlord's Bill?
There's quite a lot of stuff there, really. On a comparison, I mean, they're not wanting to put in the public sector into a lot of this stuff. They're wanting to put the private sector in and dominate the private sector. Well, we know that there's a lot of public sector housing which needs attention. So, you know, let's be fair across the board if you're going to do things. And I'm not saying, by no means, and a lot of the landlords aren't saying that they need some kind of regulation. But what's going to happen is it's going to push a lot of good landlords out of the way. And it's going to push the bad landlords out as well, and that's good. But there's the majority of landlords in the island are good and respectful, and they look after their properties, and consequently they want people in them that are looking after them as well. And this is going to push people out because of the amount of legislation that's getting put in. And you're going to have a housing crisis if you're not careful. Very, very quickly, because a lot of people are waiting to see what happens and they're ready to come out of the market. So you're going to end up with a lot of houses which are going to be not taken up by investors again, and they're going to be left to rack and ruin. And that's what you're trying to stop at the moment. So there needs to be a fairness and equality in this bill if it's going to get put through. And I would say to councillors and commissioners and MHKs that are listening that this needs to go to a review committee and not pass at the moment. They've got a lot of things on their plate. And we're supposed to have this world disaster and chaos and everything at the moment, then this bill needs to be looked at properly for everyone's benefit.
What's your opinion, Ewan, of why there is this is a private landlord's bill? Do you think it's equitable? Do you think they're applying the same standards to public sector housing? And if not, why not?
Well, exactly, and that's the point that's being made. Now, the landlords, as far as I know, the landlords have got themselves formed as a proper body, which is what government asked, and they've sat down and tried to negotiate with government. But the civil servants who are involved in this are masters of copying and pasting, and they've copied and pasted a lot of legislation from all over England. And I know this because I've spoke to them. And again, like I've said before, if you've got a minister who's not strong enough to handle the civil servants, this stuff goes totally awry and out of perspective. So your Manx solutions for Manx problems goes totally out the window when you start copy and pasting everything from England. No, the public sector is not getting put into this. And you know, in fairness, if government want to bring this in, then they should be accountable as well for their properties. And make sure that all their properties are up to standard. I've been in houses up in Willesden and various places where they're black, the walls are black. And I know that there's some tenants that don't open windows, and that's a pain as well. But, you know, if you're going to be fair, and they're going to put this here PAT testing in for electrics every time a tenant comes out, so your bills are going to go up. Consequently, the rents are going to go up. So there's a knock-on. There's a whole knock-on effect. You're going to get a lack of properties coming up for rental. You're going to get a certain element of people who are not going to be able to rent. And prices are going to go up. And we're already in a situation on the island where we're going to have a lot of stealth taxing, as it is, with this here drama that's been going on, the money that's being spent, like the £373,000. So there's a lot of stealth taxing that's going to be coming in here, and I think government have to be very, very careful of how they play this.
Okay. All right, Ewan. Thanks for calling us today.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, have a good weekend. Potholes in Cronkerberry were only filled last week. Now they're in a worse condition than they were before. Just DOI just seemed to top them up and drive away instead of filling them in properly, says Tom. Most of the people who are travelling alone wearing a mask are probably going to have their COVID swab test at the grandstand. That's the rules. They're just following guidance, says Paul. Cronkerberry Estate, very bad for potholes. Another one, says John. They fill a few but leave the rest. And the Benihara Road, probably worse due to the big skip wagon that travels on it daily to get rid of the rubbish in the countryside. Roger on the man in line. Hello, Roger.
Hi, good afternoon, Andy. Just a bit of light-hearted humour. Ewan, that's just been on. I do enjoy listening to him. He's very informative. He's to the point. He talks an awful lot of sense. But I can't help picking up every time his voice, if he ever he wanted to be, in my opinion, he's a double for one of the people on Coronation Street. I think it's Peter Baldwin, I think. He's the double of him. And any time he wanted to, I think he could get a part-time job as just doing takes for him.
Maybe that's who it is, and maybe it's Peter Baldwin from Coronation Street.
It could be. He's a double. I mean, I do enjoy listening to him, his call-ins. He's very good. But immediately, every time I hear him, I think of the Coronation Street. Just a bit of my sense of humour.
Okay. All right, Roger. Have a good weekend now.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
All right, and David's with us on The Man in Line. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to support the guy that was on about the landlord's bill. Now, I'm not connected with any landlords at all, and I don't rent any property out, so it doesn't affect me at all. But in 2015, late 2015, going on towards 16, I was a member of government at the time when we actually had the original bill defeated because it wasn't fair. If we're all in it together, why shouldn't the local authority housing stock right around the island, which is substantial, and the government ones, the what we call the old LGB houses, which are run by government anyway, so there's a conflict of interest, why can't they be in the same boat if they're all in it together? And that's the biggest issue I've got that's never been addressed. I know there are landlords in private sector, local authority sector, government sector, some of them are will be at different stages all the time, need to be addressed. The biggest thing we have on the island is condensation. Most 99% of it's not damp, it's condensation. And it's getting people to have sometimes a different lifestyle or maybe designing, which government do and should do in the future, is to bring on properties which are more environmentally friendly now, eco-friendly, solar panels, all sorts of things that's coming to the future. And I just wanted to add a bit of a flavour on that. And just flip to the other one while I'm on is the development council or this development agency that Tim will approve the other day. Yeah. We've had that before. 5 or 6 years ago, we've been waiting for, and I'll quote all the land that government owns and they should be doing something about, is the old prison, the nurse's home, Summerland site, Park Road School. There's the site that, well, Glenside is the only one that's moved forward, and that took 5 years. But why aren't government, instead of creating another agency, just saying, this is what we want, put it out to the architects and builders out there and say, we want to build this, that, and the other. They are a government. Lead from the front and make those decisions and move things on.
Did you find Professor Farragher?
Oh, no. Yes, we did. I've got to say, I can't believe how, it's not your radio station, but it's our radio station, how far and wide it does go. I had calls at home, and I forgot to say to people I was out, so I was on my mobile phone. I had a few calls on the answer phone, and to those people that rang me up, we did connect, and he did send me an email, and I've thanked him. But if he's listening, and he's a good Manxman, as far as I'm concerned, he told me a little story. I'd love to tell it one day when I get permission, how the football club, Onken Football Club, supported him 50 years ago, not to play football, but lent him a shirt. And I want to put that in a story in a book.
Fantastic. Thanks for being with us, David. Have a good weekend.
See you, mate. And the same, bye.
25 past 12 on The Man in Line today. I think people may wear masks in vehicles if they're dropping shopping off. As I do, not really supposed to touch our masks as we are so... the one mask does last a few hours, says Leslie. Maybe that's why. Big Phil said, Andy, Eddie made a good point. Comparing us with Guernsey is like comparing an apple with an orange. Do you think the government has? Do you think they've been comparing us with Guernsey? I mean, obviously, like for like, we're not the same in terms of size, but it is an island, and we did have that travel corridor, didn't we? We did have the air bridge between us as well. Lots of people on the island met people from Guernsey, and lots of people from Guernsey had never thought of coming to the Isle of Man. I think some of them may be coming back. I wear my mask in my car when I want to acclimatise my specs so they don't steam up as well. Why do people go on about if the total number of positive cases being down? You'd hope so, considering we're in lockdown. It's the unexplained positive cases and the cases under investigation that count, as these prove COVID is in the Isle of Man community and being spread by COVID idiots, says Bob. There is a government media briefing today. There was due to be one yesterday, but they postponed it with about 40 minutes to go. Everybody was really prepared. Didn't happen. It is going to happen today, 4 o'clock, live on Manx Radio, AM, FM, on the Facebook channel, on the YouTube channel as well. A year ago, we got the news. Many people were dreading that coronavirus had reached the Isle of Man. It's a year. Statement released by the Isle of Man government late in the evening on Thursday the 19th of March confirmed that a Manx resident had tested positive for COVID-19 after returning from a trip abroad. This is how the next 24 hours played out.
The Isle of Man has its first confirmed case of coronavirus. A patient who had recently returned to the island from Spain tested positive yesterday. Public Health has been in contact with the patient to provide advice and support.
As we announced last night, the first confirmed case of COVID-19 has now been identified on the island. The patient had recently returned home after a holiday in Spain. They developed symptoms, sought medical advice, and were advised to self-isolate. The patient was contacted last night and is receiving advice and support. Contact tracing is underway. The patient is currently defined as a mild case. They have not required any hospital treatment and are self-isolating at home until the symptoms pass. It is important at this time to confirm there is no evidence of human-to-human transmission. The patient's family are showing no symptoms. Beyond that, I cannot comment more. You will, I am sure, understand the need for us to respect patient confidentiality. This is quite obviously a challenging moment for all of us in our island community.
The key priority for our department is the health and well-being of all our pupils, teachers and staff. There has been understandable concern and anxiety about the invisible threat this virus presents. This week, I've been meeting with the head teachers and teacher union representatives to brief them on the facts, listen to their views and experiences, and work together to plan for all possibilities. We are not closing all the schools on our island. Those parents worried about their children who wish to withdraw them from school can do so without any sanction.
If you have symptoms, stay at home. If you are arriving on the island, stay at home for 14 days. We know this can pose real challenges for people. We will keep this under review. The fact that we now have two confirmed cases emphasises how important it is that people follow the advice that we have already issued.
That was a year ago. It seems like yesterday, doesn't it? 29 minutes past 12. David's with us on the Man in Line. Hello, David.
Hello there. I'll tell you why I use my face mask when I'm driving the car. When are you wearing hearing aids? If you take your face mask off, it pulls the hearing aids out.
Oh, right. So you keep it on all the time?
Keep it on all the time. It's easier to keep it on and take them off when you get home.
Right. All right. Thanks for telling us that, David.
Okay, bye now.
Cheers. It's 12:30. So, 4 o'clock today. There's a media briefing. We'll see what the next chapter is in the story. Manx Radio.
Pacesetter, the longest established bathroom showroom on the island, for expert advice and bathroom solutions that work, with new innovations and designs, including the latest walk-in showers. From practical, accessible bathrooms for an aging generation to the ultimate in luxury, domestic or commercial. Pacesetter Tile and Bathroom Showroom. Search online for Pacesetter Douglas.
Just Care Products, for mobility solutions.
Just Care Products are here for you in these troubling times, with your well-being our top priority. Even if we're closed, you can still call us and we will assist in getting what you need. Delivery and pickup options are available with payments over the phone. Just Care Products, mobility products for you. For more information, call
Just Care Products, 627-177.
New pension legislation enables pensions with values up to £142,000 to be potentially cashed in. But just because you can does not mean that you should. Talk to Blackford Financial Services to find out more about your specific pension options and how this may affect your retirement planning. Please call Blackford Financial Services on 627 674 or visit online at blackfords.im. Blackfords. Retirement planning made easy.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
You're listening to Carter. Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's Time Train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember Tipped Weights, Opal Fruits or Jamboree Bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the Time Train with Isle of Man Railways and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Friday lunchtime on the Isle of Man, 27 minutes before one. Before we go any further, I've got to say congratulations to a big name in the legal field who's leaving the Isle of Man, and that's David Doyle. David Doyle is off to the Cayman Islands this summer after many years working in the legal profession on the Isle of Man. Most recently, I think he was an advocate with Keynes. Of course, he's been first Deemster. He took over from after Michael Carouche died. He was first Deemster and I think left in 2018. David Doyle has been a big servant to the legal profession on the Isle of Man. He's off to the Cayman Islands. He's been appointed to the Financial Services Division of the Grand Court. Off to the Cayman Islands this summer. I only say that because we often see David Doyle marching up and down Head Road here to Marine Drive. He's a big walker. I'm sure he's done the parish walk several times. Won't be able to do the parish walk in the Cayman Islands, though. Anyway, congratulations to David Doyle. We wrote to the government. We sent in a Freedom of Information request about the number of potholes that have been reported, and we got a report back from November, December, January and February, the number of potholes that were reported, how many were repaired. The number escalated, they called it, presumably worse than expected, and the number that are outstanding at the moment. The number of potholes reported in November last year was 235. In December was 244. In January, 196. And in February, 427 were reported. They repaired 220 out of 235 in November, 180 out of 244 in December, 156 out of 196 in January, and 223 out of 427 in February. The potholes continue to appear, and I don't know whether it's everyone's imagination that the potholes are getting worse, they seem to be, how can I put it, not getting much better. Let's put it that way. Lots of texts in today, so I'll try and go through a few texts, including, can we talk about, says Adam, the fact that yesterday's briefing, the media briefing, was cancelled for a House of Keys sitting that lasted 10 minutes and 24 seconds. Surely there's another reason for the decision. Well, we don't know of one. If you know of another reason for that, it was the Speaker of the House of Keys, Mr. Watterson, who called them back for Keys yesterday to discuss that session of the Keys, talking about local democracy. It's all about the local elections that were due to be taking place on the 22nd of April. Let's not forget that only a few months ago, says Rob, the Isle of Man almost had no cases. Guernsey had well over 400. So if we follow the rules, we will get out of lockdown. And if you've got any insight on this kind of law of false equivalence, how we can compare the Isle of Man to Guernsey or compare the Isle of Man to Jersey. Well, we're different, of course. We are islands, and there is some affinity with the island games and what have you. But do you think it's worth drawing an equivalence to other islands for the Isle of Man? Do you remember we had the lady on a few months ago now, it is, from Germany, who was talking about Barbados, how they are testing all the time in Barbados. Kevin said, Andy, with the schools being closed, do we know if caretakers, cleaners, kitchen staff have been redeployed or are they on furlough? Also, I've seen school groundsmen and works division around the school. So if they're working, surely the above shouldn't be at home if they've not been redeployed or furloughed as well. Well, it'd be Easter holiday soon, wouldn't it? But it's interesting. And we never got any follow-up on that. Do you remember there was a note in, I think, from Helen, who said, what's happening to all the food in the canteens that will be out of date by the end of the Easter holidays? Not out of date at the moment, but if the food in the canteens is going out of date by the time schools nominally get back for the summer term, I wonder what they're going to do with that as well. Ian just said, I like the world according to Juan. I do hope he's going to stand for the House of Keys in September. Well, we'll see as well. I agree 110% with Drew and his comments about the landlord's bill. MHKs need to send it to the review committee, says Andy as well. And regarding Eddie, people have to live and life goes on. We can't lock ourselves away forever. But isn't it funny how COVID cases have rocketed after a lot of people have been vaccinated? And do you think the government can stop putting on the letters sent out for vaccination, you have underlying health problems when a lot of people don't, says Gary in Ramsey. Is that happening as well? And Davey said, Andy, I do hope all the whining critics, wow, will be candidates in the forthcoming general election. If they have the answers to all the problems, then we're all fine as well. You mentioned the double yellow line. The person that made the decision is the same one, possibly, that did the bike and bus lane at the grandstand. Will the Isle of Man be bust and bike only if the government should choose so, says Les. Do you think it's Mr. Baker? Do you think Mr. Baker's made... I mean, he is the minister for the Department of Infrastructure. There's been all sorts of comment about whether it's the ministers who make the decisions, they drive the policy, or is it the civil servants that drive the policy? Civil servants can often be in a department for 20, 30, 40 years sometimes, and you would think would know the department inside out. It's the old conundrum, isn't it? Is it the civil servants that know the department better, or is it the minister who comes in with fresh eyes and fresh ears who can inject some new blood into it? We're getting lots of votes for the Benihara Road from Andreas. Worst potholes on the Isle of Man. It says this. Maybe this is something we should consider on the Isle of Man, assuming we're not using the method already, says Christine. Cumbria County Council across in the UK is harnessing extra resources to help repair damage to their roads caused by freezing winter conditions. They're deploying something called jet patching and thermal road patching machines to fix potholes, carry out emergency road repairs and seal worn sections of carriageway. This is a high-powered jet patching equipment using coal bitumen emulsion, are you following this, that's forced into every crack and crevice under high pressure to fill a pothole. Thermal road patching machines work by melting the existing poor road surface, producing a permanent heat seal seamless repair which re-establishes the original quality of the road. Jet patchers are capable of carrying up to 150 road repairs a day, making them a highly efficient, cost-effective way of repairing damaged road surfaces. Well, that could be coming into the Manx lexicon soon, couldn't it? Are we jet patching today? Don't forget, every night, 6 o'clock on Manx Radio, Chris Kinley is here with the greatest hits on earth, and there will be, as there is every night, at 7 o'clock, a COVID-19 update with Chris Kinley.
Together, we can prevent suicide. But would you know what to do if a friend, colleague, or loved one needed help? With an assist course from St John Ambulance, you could learn the skills to intervene and help someone stay safe. Your knowledge could be the difference between a life lost and a life saved. learn life-supporting applied suicide intervention skills on a St John Ambulance Assist course. For more information, call St John Ambulance on 674 387.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small, day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer.
Yay!
Your movers are here.
They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Typhoon House, happily working to keep you working, whether from home or the office. We can supply you with ink and toner for your printers and copiers. All major brand cartridges are held in stock, along with our outstanding range of 100% guaranteed compatible cartridges at discounted prices. And ask us about new printers and copiers. Call 661-331 or email typhoon@typhoonhouse.im. Typhoon House.
This is a tough time for the island's businesses, but Manx Radio is here to help. Right now, we're offering special rates to let you get your message across to potentially over 49,000 listeners even more cost-effectively. Whatever your business, whatever its size, call our sales team now on 682 600 or email sales@manxradio.com to find out more. And get the power of Manx Radio working for your business.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's 17 minutes ahead of one. I see Licensing and Registration of Vehicles Act 1985, Vehicle Duty Order 2021. Went through quietly this week. Another stealth tax under the cover of a time of crisis, says David. The Licensing and Registration of Vehicles Act 1985, Vehicle Duty Order 2021. It's got to be more money, wouldn't it? Peter, there's a message from Juan, just said, I'm open to stand in for bookings. Peter. Oh, Juan, you'd be a great MHK. I think some drivers keep their masks on so as not to keep touching them. If any virus is on the mask, it's passed to the hands every time the mask is moved. As for the caller the other day who sprays the inside of masks, I think it's the worst thing you can do. Juan, that is. A different Juan, it is. Fiona's on the Man in Line today. Now, hello, Fiona.
Hello, Andy. Hi. Couple of points. Regarding infrastructure and mending of the roads and the workforce who work on the roads, I mean, it's notorious how long they take and the inefficiency. I really think there should be supervision. There seems to be a complete lack of supervision. I grew up on a Manx farm, and when stopped working on the farm and got a job in infrastructure, they were totally demoralised because men didn't work. They didn't know what work was. And they had a mentality, you know, to skive off, basically. Now, I have heard, whether this is true or not, I don't know. But I have heard from a reliable source that men, I don't know which men or team of men, working on the roads were skiving off using government-paid-for tarmac to do private driveways.
Well, that would come out.
I don't know if these were our men or men from the cross.
Yeah, that would come out very quickly if anybody was doing anything dodgy like that, don't you think, Fiona?
Moonlighting. Well, there's lots of stuff. I mean, the materials, you know, they don't always keep control of the materials. I know for a fact that the stones that are used on the railway line were sold off cheap to somebody. I just think it all there's a lack of supervision of work, and it takes. I've lived all over. I grew up here. I lived all over the UK, and believe you me, the efficiency on the roads, there's just no comparison, and it's a terrible drain on the Manx taxpayer. apart from the dangerous state of the road.
And also, I mean, Fiona, we've, I mean, ever since we started talking about potholes, it's one of the subjects people come back to all the time. And you would think filling potholes is a relatively simple thing to do. You see a pothole, you fix it, it's better, that's fine. That would seem to be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course, it's pretty simple, and there's different methods. You can do temporary fixing it and more permanent fixing it. But they keep, but mistakes are made all the time. They don't seem to have the engineers specifying, to, you know, that things are done properly very often. So things have to be redone. I won't go into that because everyone's heartbroken about the problem and the mess and the cost and the disruption. I'll leave it at that. There's a lack of supervision, and in general, I've noticed all sorts of scams, like working men getting council houses when they're on a wage because they've got a mate, yeah? And when it should go to a single mother with a child. There's all sorts of things going on this island, and I was born here, so I think I have a right to... I left the island, but it's heartbreaking, the waste of money. And whilst the heart was in the right place on another subject about the money, $300,000 spent on the premises, the airport, etc., for the COVID jabs, whilst the heart was in the right place, it's still throwing a shed load of taxpayers' money at it. Why couldn't they, given that GP consultations were mainly over the phone, why couldn't they have used stable access premises, adapted that for one of the hubs, when they've got a twin in Onchan, and given most of the consultations had gone over the phone, you know, people could have been seen over in Onchan surgery or dealt with on the phone. I just think there were cheaper ways, you know, to do this.
Okay, all right,
so
Fiona.
That's really what I wanted to say.
All
okay,
right.
Thanks, Andy.
Have a good weekend, bye, Fiona. Take care now.
And you too. Enjoy the day.
Bye-bye. 12 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Yes, the news is, aside of the COVID and everything, the Easter Bunny trains have been cancelled at Crowdall Glen. There's no Easter Bunny trains or Egg Hunt as well. The COVID-19 situation has forced Crowdall Glen Railway to take the decision to cancel it for the second year running as well. It's a major fundraiser for Crowdall Glen Railway. And obviously lots of families and lots of children love. It's a very popular event, apparently. If you've bought tickets, you'll be contacted over the next week or so. Crowdall Glen's planning to celebrate the 125th anniversary with a big family fun day on the 23rd of May. There will also be an Easter hunt. A message in from Harvey, who just said, Andy, where is the bit where you can report a pothole? Well, you go to the gov.im. If you go to gov.im, click on the Department of Infrastructure. There's a page called Highway Maintenance. And gives you all the details. Highway Maintenance, there's a contact number as well. It's at the Sea Terminal building. But there's also a click on there to report a pothole as well, also to report faulty traffic lights as well and any defects in the highway. They value your feedback as well to improve their services. Elizabeth said, Andy, I've got a question. How would moving the second dose of the vaccine to 12 weeks from 10 free up more vaccines to continue the first doses without risking the possibility of not having enough second doses delivered? If they're expecting fewer vaccines delivered, and they are, because of the hiccup in the UK, are they giving them as first doses? How are they then going to guarantee enough for the 12-week second doses? If the second dose isn't given within the correct length of time, the whole vaccination is going to be useless. How will they guarantee that they'll receive enough vaccines for the second dose if they stop earmarking them for second doses when they arrive with the first dose? We'll try and get that message through today. And, of course, one of Manx Radio's journalists will be allotted a space on the bus to ask some questions this afternoon as well. The government also reminding you, by the way, if you get your vaccination letter, you need to contact 111 straight away and register for a vaccination by completing the online form or by calling 111. To help the vaccination programme to continue at pace, they want you to get in touch. If you've had a letter, get in touch. If you're assuming that you want the vaccination, of course, register for a COVID-19 vaccination. The best way to do it is to either use the online form, if possible, and phone them if you can't use the online form. Vaccination appointments are continuing during the restrictions, including for those who are shielding. A message in, just to say, I'm elderly. My son is good, but I can go out and get shopping once a week. Why is it elderly people go out in their cars? As everyone surely has people who can help them with it as well. The COVID's all about control of the people, apparently, says this correspondent. The police are using it to their advantage to catch petty criminals. Is that so? Is that so? That's MW600 who dropped me a note in. I went round the estate with a petition in 2019 regarding the condition of the roads at Cronkerberry and was told we were getting it resurfaced in 2020. COVID delayed the resurfacing of Cronkerberry. It's horrendous. COVID seems to be an excuse for a lot of things. 850000 is the pothole number, and we ring it, and they fill them in pretty quickly. But 1 week later, the pothole is back. Carol in Cronkerberry. I wear my mask in the car when I'm on my way to do a bank robbery, says Paul. I don't think he's serious about that. And everybody's saying the Benihara Road's being destroyed by a skip wagon, travelling up and down it as well. Well, surely the road should be able to take a wagon or two, shouldn't it, as well? Dick says, Andy, I was grateful I got my first AstraZeneca vaccine yesterday. A huge thank you to everybody involved. They were all fantastic at Chester Street. But I thought it was daft that the lady on reception had a mask on but didn't have a desk or plastic screen protecting her, as people who stood there right next to her on the way in. There's more protection when you go to the supermarkets than the lady had at the vaccine place in Chester Street. We have thousands in stock to give people for a second dose after three weeks, and not 10 as we're now doing with the AstraZeneca vaccine. We could have been 2 months or 10,000 doses ahead if we'd done the same as the UK. I think now is the time to change. A message also in from, is it Hayley, who just said, you said Barry had his second jab yesterday. He's doing fine. He was a little tired, but Barry is now fully immunised now. Still wearing masks, very colourful masks all the time. Running up and down, Douglas Head, actually. It's made him twice the man he was. David said, it's true, David said a top civil servant's come out and stated there's not or need for the police to do an inquiry about the steam packet. There seems to be no transparency by the civil service. Is it one law for us and one for them, or are they above the law? The public wants answers, and the lockdown is costing livelihoods, it's costing money. Somebody must be at fault for this. 60 people have been imprisoned for breaking isolation rules, and this situation is worse. No civil servant should be above the law. Well, we don't know that it was a civil servant. We don't know. The Chief Minister said there was a misunderstanding as far as the protocols were concerned. So at the moment, we'll have to leave it at that. There is going to be a report coming out at some point in the future. But we'll just see as well. Could one of the problems be that so many of the vulnerable people who've been vaccinated are more confident in going out, but could still be spreading the disease as well? So is that the issue? Well, later on today, we'll find out more from the Chief Minister. 4 o'clock, live on Manx Radio. And, of course, that will be available as a podcast. It will also be available as a blog for the hard of hearing. If you want to see it or you can't get to a speaker to actually hear it, it will be available as a blog as the day goes on. How much over budget is the Liverpool landing stage at the moment, says Paul. We haven't heard much about that, have we? Princess Half Tide Dock in Liverpool was supposed to be opening at the start of next year. We'll be right back. Regarding the wearing of masks, says David, should postmen be wearing masks, by the way? They go into people's doors and putting things through the letterboxes. Somewhere do wear masks, but the one that comes to my house doesn't wear a mask, says David. The Great Manx Public did a great job of lockdown 1 and 2, lockdown 3 not so well. In my opinion, people lost faith, says this correspondent, and are visiting cafes and such like. Well, Man and Lion's back Monday, by the way, if you want to get in touch in the meantime. Call 682-631. Have a great weekend.